There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you all along. Phone number 343-0106. Also the same for the text line, 343-0106. And as always, you can leave me a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. On the way on today's show, obviously a lot of talk about what went on last night. And joining us here in just a minute's time, we'll bring on AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl. Just want to... It probably got a lot of my reaction last night on the Twitter or over on X at FM Talk 106.5, where we did the live tweeting during the presidential debate. I'll say this. When the bottom of my very, very low expectations for President Biden, where I was yesterday at this time, the very, very low expectations now seems to be at an aspirational level. It's a heck of a statement of what happened last night. Obviously, not good for Biden. We're going to get into that. But also, I was embarrassed as a nation for Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Libertarians. I was embarrassed for our nation last night because I think one of the things I retweeted last night was something to the effect of, hey, other countries, y'all leave the room now. This is an inside family thing. We're going to just have family time right now, because it was that embarrassing to me. Not just the politics of it, but the international politics of it. I thought it was a very low place. And be surprised, you know, I'm sitting there watching that. I go, I'm now watching what will be in textbooks or on the kids' computers or whatever going forward, the worst presidential debate. We grew up, you know, saying, well, look at Nixon in the presidential debate. Now it's going to be, look at Biden. I will say this, after the aftermath of last night and him leaving stage, and we could talk about why you then take Biden to the Waffle House. Maybe because you're hoping people are so out of it at the Waffle House drunk that Biden seems cogent. I don't know. But I end up feeling, number one, sad and embarrassed for our nation, because I'm first before anything an American. But second of all, I do feel sorry for President Biden. I feel sorry that people inside his administration, Jake Sullivan or whoever, would said, you know, this is a good idea to put him on stage like that. Joe Biden, Jill saying, this is a good idea. So, yeah, it is with some sadness. All right, and it is a time to bring out, we're going to talk about a lot here with Congressman Carl, but at the beginning of what, was it, Congressman, a year ago or so, you said, hey, Sean, they're going to replace Biden. I don't know when, but they're going to replace Biden on the ticket. What, you think that was a year ago?
It's been longer than that. I've been saying his name would not be on the ballot 3 years ago.
Okay.
I've been watching the decay of his health, and just common sense says he can't make it.
So you said, okay, 3 years ago, and so to place this, everybody knows, because I'll take my licks, and I said steadfastly, I said, Congressman, I appreciate your opinion. I disagree with you. I don't see why they'd switch, and especially as it got to be the last 6 months, I said, they're not going to switch horses mid-race. They will keep Biden they believe in pushing him along through the general. They think somehow he can beat Trump because he did it before. At this point, I'm ready to hand the trophy over here and saying, I think you called it.
No, don't be so quick to pass the trophy. Because I'll tell you this, I hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong, too. I hope you're right.
I think what they're trying to do, they're trying to keep him propped up. I think they threw him under the bus last night. I think that was the leadership in the Democrat Party. He didn't have to do that debate. It showed everybody what we in Washington see and hear all the time about it, and actually showed it to the nation. So it was almost throwing him under the bus.
But who does that, Congressman? Like, you know, I understand the people that would be, you know, ready for, you know, the those inside the Democrats that wanted somebody else and don't want Biden because they don't think they can win with him. But they had to get it past inner circle people, wouldn't they? I mean, even to his wife, to say how they would agree to it. Maybe, you know, the Machiavellian move inside the power structure of the DNC is one thing, but his close associates, you think they would have said, let's call in sick, let's not do this. They had to know that was going to happen.
So I've got him on my TV right now, and his wife's giving all the speech. He's standing over the side.
I'm watching it, too. Like, yeah, look at that, Julie.
He came out there like a stroke patient. So, and symptoms of it. So, but this is the problem they're in right now. Okay, if he steps down, they cannot step over
the VP, Kamala Harris, yeah.
They cannot. If they do, they'll get all the black votes against them. They'll get the women votes turned on. They'll get all these votes against them. And she is weaker than he is on the ballot. So if they make a deal with her, I mean...
And she polls worse than he does. Believe it or not, y'all, she polls worse than him. But
so if she does agree to, let's say, step aside, and they're going to put a sweet deal together and raise all her money so she can run for governor of California and probably win. And she stepped aside. Then you got, you know, you're looking at the Whitmer from Michigan. You've got Bashir?
Yeah,
from Elizabeth Kentucky, Bashir. Governor North Carolina is Cooper, and of course Gavin Newsom. And you know, I think Newsom is the one that they would pick. But again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope you were originally right. I hope he continues because what happened last night was sad to watch. Even as a Republican, even as someone that disagrees with all of his policies, that was sad. That was elder care abuse, is what I saw.
And that's kind of where, you know, where I went. I feel the same way, and I'm embarrassed for our republic. You know, I'm embarrassed for what we look like in the world stage. But, yeah, it goes back to I know, it's not just I believe, I know the mechanisms at work to try to replace Biden inside the Democrats, trying to find a winning horse. But the close associates that let him go on that stage, that's the one I can't figure out. How
they had to have thrown him under the bus. They had to have known that was going to happen. It came out to juiced up. I was watching veins in his forehead. I was watching his breathing pattern. I'm a body reader. I read bodies. He was all over the scale. If I would have saw him before that debate, I would have said, get an ambulance.
Yeah.
We're going to call this sucker off. Let's take him to the hospital with some simple issues, and we can call this thing off and get away with it. But now this morning, you got all these Democrats on the floor. They're the down ballot. They're worried. They are worried to death, and they should be, because most voters going on in a general election going to pull a straight ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for Trump's name, and they're going to pull a straight ballot. So, you know, that's a great thing. That's a great thing for us. You know, the donors last night, all the money that he's raised, I mean, they're looking at this guy they were told was going to, you know, reinvent the wheel up here his second term, and they're looking at him going, my gosh, where's our money going? And just while we're on money, let's talk about that for just a second.
Okay.
He falls under the old rules because of his age and when he was in Senate. He literally gets to keep the money that he raises. And the rule of thumb is they take that money and they put it in a trust, and that trust can do things. But a family member is usually put in charge of it, you know, after their death and so on and so forth. It's separated from the candidate itself. So my question is, if he's raised $300 million for this cycle, and he steps out, does he keep the $300 million?
You got to imagine.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, if he does, that may be one of his better business transactions using taxpayer money.
Maybe he'll cut off his relationship with Ukraine at this point for $300 million.
I don't know how that. You know, I don't know the. Yeah, can you?
And I don't know for a fact that applies to this, but I'm just throwing the question out there, and I'm sure there's some scholars out there that can tell us exactly. But
because you can move the money, I know, right? And politically, if you have this account, you can take it and give it to these other candidates. I've seen that happen many times. I know that's legal. You can say, okay,
That you can do. You can give it to the party. You can't give it to an individual candidate.
Oh, okay, just to the party.
Yeah, you can give it to the party. Of course, the party will take and dispense it back out the way they feel it needs to be redispensed, but I just think it's thought-provoking what he could or could not do. you know, the Dems are panicking. You know, you watched it last night. I didn't watch any of Fox News.
No, I watched CNN. When you lose Van Jones, Congressman, I mean, Van Jones was just, he was kind of quiet when he responded and measured, and he almost wanted to put his head in his hands, is what the body language looked like to me. When you lose Van Jones, you're done.
That tells you they've hidden it from their base, too.
But how many of the base people didn't know? You know, I mean, just down to the, you know, I want to say just as recently as, 2 weeks ago, when the video came out with former President Obama leading President Biden off the stage there at that fundraiser in L.A., and we saw what was clear as, you know, day, and then they started in saying it was, you know, some kind of deep fake, and then by the end of Corinne Jean-Pierre's statement, she called it a cheap fake. But even at that point, they're trying to say, don't believe your lying eyes. I don't know if they've responded to it today, but I don't think they can say we watched a deep fake video last night.
Well, there's a lot of Democrats that have been scammed, and they're not going to forget it. They may not vote for Trump. They may not vote at all. And if they don't vote at all, again, those down ballot candidates like we have right there in Mobile, that's going to hurt them and hurt them bad. You know, last night, what Biden, I saw him losing. I saw him losing the black vote, and I saw him losing the female vote from some of his answers. I mean, Trump was pretty solid. Now, he got weak in a couple of spots, but I honestly think Trump was mesmerized himself with how weak Biden came out. I mean, it was almost like, I can't believe they let this guy out. But I saw he took some hard licks last night. You know, when Trump started pointing out the job market for the black African Americans, right, and the income for the African American community, you know, how it had come down under his administration. It always comes down under the Democrat administration. Democrats run the biggest sham I've ever seen in my life. The biggest sham.
Well, I think Trump's response last night, too, that, I mean, obviously you had the situation where the mics were muted that people thought would be a bad thing for Trump. Dalton's brought it up, and I agree with him and others. I think it actually benefited Trump because
I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, they thought it was going to be this Achilles heel for Trump, but I think it made him seem more presidential, more on topic, because he couldn't be jabbing Biden while he was and who at that point. That's like getting in fight with a smaller person. You're going to lose either way. If you win, you beat up the smaller person. If you lose, you got beaten. But so just being quiet probably was the best choice.
Yeah, and it gave Trump, you know, 60 seconds or longer to cool off a little bit, too. So, I mean, the debate last night was embarrassing. And I'm sorry the country had to even witness that.
Me too.
It is not, up here in D.C., it is the number one conversation. Our Democrat friends are panicking. You know, you hear the real conversations in the bathroom. You could hear him in the bathroom panicking today.
Hey, Congressman, can you hold on for a second? We'll go to the news and come right back.
Would love to.
All right, coming right back with AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:21, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. We will get to your calls and texts here in about 10 minutes, so keep them coming. Continue our conversation with Congressman Jerry Carl, reacting first to last night's presidential debate. But Congressman, while I have you along too, I do want to talk about, I guess it's, somebody said yesterday, Jonathan Turley or something said, Supreme Court waited for today, you know, because they didn't release the things, other than things that were leaked, the earlier days this week. So today's like, what'd they say, the Super Bowl, the World Series championship, and something else all in one day. I mean, they're dropping decisions one after another today.
I haven't seen any of the decisions today, so you caught me off guard. But the biggest one today, as far as I'm concerned, Trump, the immunity for the president is going to be the biggest one, obviously.
Right.
But the one I want to look at real quickly is the Chevron ruling. We're not talking about Chevron service stations or Chevron gas. We're talking about the Chevron ruling. That basically, when it came out, it says that the federal government does not have the right to make up laws or make up rules. So this is so many things like the EPA and all these government agencies, they come in and they go, oh, I'll give you a good example. They come in and we're talking about building a new bridge. We've spent all this money. We've done all this work. And all of a sudden they show up and they go, oh, by the way, the bayway's too low. If you make an alteration to the bridge or to the tunnel, you have to raise that bayway by 6 feet. Now, my question today is, does that fall under the Chevron rule? Can we make them go to court and explain why we have to do that? Because that's what the Chevron rule says, is you have to explain it, government agency. Just because someone does it doesn't mean it, or if you say it's wrong, does it make it automatically wrong? So how many millions of dollars can we save on that project by starting to challenge stuff like this on the Chevron rule? Going, wait a minute. Show me where it's Congress has given you permission to make me raise that bridge by 6 feet.
And for us to maybe better understand this, so, you know, Congress passes a law, then these things go into effect. You have these government agencies to administer. Is it how far they can go in their interpretation and administrating their job? Is that
exactly? They go, well, Congress has given us, you know, approval to do whatever we want to do. No. There's always, we always try to build walls around what we give approval for other agencies to do. We don't want these agencies taking over the country, and that's what they've done. So that's what the Chevron rule says. If that rule was not given to you by Congress, if that power was not given to you by Congress, individuals, groups have a right to come to court and say, prove it. Because it is not a rule until Congress says it is a rule.
Yeah, it's interesting how far, this is why, I mean, this is like anything that's probably worth discussing, it's nuanced. I mean, we can't have government agency come back to Congress for every decision they're making, like, you know, where they're going to, what kind of vehicles they're going to have or something, you know what I'm saying, or whatever.
Well, let's talk about that farm bill you got. Let's talk about that low area that water gets collected up in when it rains real hard. According to the Corps and what they have tried to push and promote, that is navigable water. So anything done within that watershed, as they refer to it, has to be approved by them, which requires an engineer to draw up, an engineer to predict and present it to them. The Chevron throws that out the window. Just because it's in your field and it's a low spot that collects water, this navigable water issue does not apply. So I get excited about that because as a county commissioner, I thought that every year it came up. So, there's so many things we can apply this to. Gosh, I wish I had two more years up here. I could kick some cans over up here on some of this stuff, especially in Mobile, because we have so many issues in Mobile, so many issues in Baldwin County because we're dealing with so much rain and so much flat land. We've been pounded on by the EPA. We've been pounded on by the Corps. And they think they're right. I'm not saying they're bad people or wrong people, but they don't have the power to do it.
But Congressman, are they going to? But in this specific, would they have to? And the spirit of this decision, I like. I'm also, though, worried, like, does that mean they would have to come back to Congress for every decision, and then it would have to get in the gridlock of Congress to make? You see what I'm saying? Could they? How do you do this without having them come back to y'all for every decision they're making?
It doesn't have to be every decision. Use common sense. What's navigable water?
On that one, sure. I'm just saying, who knows what comes up in the future? You know, is a formula that somebody then sues and then that kicks it back to the Congress? Or?
Well, no, Congress is not going to weigh in on a lawsuit. But what we would be asked to do is write laws to help either enhance it or take the power away. And we love taking power away right now. That's one thing Trump focused on. That's one of the things we as a Republican Party, our problem is getting it through the Senate. I mean, we've written some powerful, powerful stuff. Our House Bill 2 on immigration, on sealing the border up. I know people get tired of hearing about it, but it is a perfect, perfect solution for the border, but we can't get it even brought up in the Senate. So we look like we don't care about the border. We've done our work. It's done. But you can't have everything challenged and brought in. There aren't mechanisms to do that. But all it's telling the government agencies, if it's not in writing, don't do it. It's that simple. If you don't have the power, don't stretch yourself further to make that something your agency could or should do within your opinion, unless you're willing to go to court and back it up.
There are a theme of a couple of these decisions from the Supreme Court. We just have a minute left here, but another one, Supreme Court expands cities' power to remove homeless camps, as they were told before. And we got actually in some discussion the other day about planning jurisdictions. I know it's a different thing coming from executive order, but this is saying that cities actually can make a decision about homeless encampments in their city, you know, where before the feds were saying, no, you don't get to make that decision.
What is the feds? What is that feds' concern? Let the cities run the cities. Let the counties run the counties.
I agree.
Let the state run the state. And let the federal run our business outside the continental United States and defend us from war. Let cities be cities. We elect people. Local elected officials are the most important people in politics. I'm telling you, Sean.
I agree.
A good mayor, and a good mayor is going to take care of that homeless camp. Why does he need the federal government to tell him what he can or can't do?
Believe me, you never have to twist my arm to talk about local politics are the most important. I preach it all
the
time.
That's where the Chevron rule just gets me so excited, what we can do with it and the opportunities that it will open up to citizens and get them their rights back.
Well, let's get you back here soon to talk about that specifically as well as we expand on that Supreme Court decision. Congressman Jerry Carl, thank you for your time. Thanks for hopping on with us today.
Thank you, Sean. Take care, buddy.
All right, will do. There he goes, Congressman Carl. And we'll come back and get your calls and text at 343-0106, 343-0106. And we'll go another one of the Supreme Court cases, too, is the court saying the government's theory for charging hundreds of Capitol rioters with obstruction was too broad. This is pretty interesting as well. We'll get to it when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.